Good morning. Today is Friday. It's the day before.
It is Christmas Eve.
Unless, of course, you go to midnight mass and then it's the day of.
I think midnight marks the beginning of the next day.
Yeah, or the end of mass, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys do midnight mass?
We do the family mass in the afternoon. It's just with the age of the kids. Some of the cousins are younger. It's always been.
You know there's not one this year.
I do know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just you show up, everybody's not boycotting Shanahan.
No, last year, you know, everything was outside, and so we had it in the back on the grass, senior lawn. Mass was on the senior lawn, and it was windy, and it was rainy, and it was, you know, quite
cool.
Memorable.
Yeah.
Pretty memorable.
Yeah. Joining us this morning is Paul Shanahan. Head honcho at St. Bernard's. Oh, yeah. What does that say? Administrator.
Yeah.
You don't even want to stand behind your title, huh?
What? Which title?
That it says administrator.
Principal.
You got a lot of, a lot of administrators.
President. Yeah. No, it could be a long list. Bus driver, you know.
Custodian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they put those on the shoulder sleeve normally.
Yeah, I should do patches.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
Geez, that's two of them. We're, 30 seconds into the show?
Well, that's why I come. I come for the ideas.
Yeah. All righty. Are you ready for our question this morning?
Yeah.
In the realm of entertainment, you know, I could say goon, but you might take that personal.
Goon, let's go.
How about green-eyed monster? There we go.
Mm.
Why do we say green-eyed monster?
Jealousy. I'm gonna go with jealousy. It's got to be something. Someone is jealous.
Theater goers did not realize what a good thing they had when the plays of Shakespeare first hit the stage. But it only took a few encounters with his work to realize that he talked and wrote like no one before or since. Casting about for a vivid way to describe jealousy, the Bard of Avon, remember that many cats have green eyes. Not necessarily correctly, he seems to have considered cats to be cruel and vindictive.
Oh, no. I think our cat lovers are pretty upset at those descriptors as they sit next to their cat this morning.
Well, the thing with the mouse, you know. Therefore, in Othello, Act 3, he called jealousy the green-eyed monster, comparing it with a cat that to a human appears to play with a bird or a mole. It is captured and is about to eat.
Yeah, beautiful. I love Shakespeare.
See, now you got a little something for English class next time you wander that part of the building.
There's a new version of Othello coming out to theater soon. So, yeah, that'll be an
option. What are they doing this time?
I think it's pretty an authentic take on it. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a Macbeth coming out and Othello coming out, I think. So
it's the most disappointing. It's not going to be a really hard-hitting show this morning, folks.
Christmas Eve. We don't want to hit anybody hard on Christmas Eve.
The most disappointing Shakespearean presentation I ever saw was at Humboldt State, and they did Othello in the round.
Okay. So was
they
it
were
that
interpreting
you,
and interpreting?
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Oh, pardon me. It was Hamlet. They had the soliloquy, the Iago soliloquy, and they started improvising, and it was like, what am I in? And, of course, I had to be in the middle of a seat area, so I couldn't get up and leave without getting everybody's ire. It was the most bizarre event I had, I think, at Humboldt.
I've got a better Hamlet story than that.
Yeah.
Are you ready? So I'm at Santa Clara, double major, math, English, and I have one of the top professors.
You got trapped in English?
I love
somehow.
English. Love English. And one of the top English department professors, phenomenal woman, spoke 7 languages fluently, medieval, everything. Well, one of my classmates was starring in Hamlet. So we, as a whole class, went to Hamlet right on campus. And he was phenomenal. I mean, he was phenomenal. And he was great in class. You know, he was a spark in class. And then you see him on stage, and the two fell in love, the professor and the student. And I think they might still be together today, you know, 30-odd years later. You know, pretty good Hamlet story right
there. There's some of that, and they were roughly the same age.
Age, what does age have to do with anything, Brian, except for
legal issues?
Oh, no, there's no legal issues. This is college.
Oh, okay.
Come on. We're all legal in college unless you really...
He wasn't an early achiever. He was like 17.
Right,
kids
No,
fast
tracks. No, he was... Let's go with 21, just for our listeners. Let's make him 21 in the story so they can, you know, picture that beautiful romance on stage.
On stage? Say, there was a little improvisation going on. Yes, be careful what you say around an open mic.
Oh, yeah.
you know, I don't think there's anything we do. Let's just bring up the music and we'll go to break. It's
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning. Happy Christmas Eve, everybody. Paul Shanahan. Paul, when you think of high school education today versus, I don't know, pick a milestone going backwards, 10, 20, 50, whatever. What are the biggest changes? Yeah, you know, if we've had kids that have gone through, things have changed. If we have grandkids going through, things certainly have changed.
I think one of the things that people talk about is information was held by the schools. You know, you're going all the way back, you know, that's where you went to get information. And now we walk around with information in our pockets. So you have access to information. So it's a big difference. You know, it's so much power and access to a 10-year-old, right, or a 12-year-old. So there's a shift to being more of a discerning learner. Being a problem solver, being, you know, collaborating. I think those are some real big differences because it's a superpower. I mean, I remember, you know, you dial in on your modem.
Card catalog?
You'd be waiting. You know,
what?
I did work the card catalog at a Rodre at Santa Clara. So it's a Santa Clara theme.
Yeah. I wonder if it's still there.
No. No, they now have a machine because I would work in the shelves. I would do all that. And now it's all automated. You know, the AI will go in and the robots will pull the books and the books just show up. Oh yeah. It's remarkable. Millions of dollars. Yeah. They're not paying the freshmen $15 an hour to shell books. Yeah. So but the kids are the same, you know, the kids are growing up. One thing schools are, it's a safe place to come and, you know, fail, struggle and learn and having amazing people, you know, having teachers who love what they're doing. So they're getting that welcome in the morning, they're getting the goodbye, and then they're getting this opportunity to grow in the middle. It's so school has always been that.
Hey, you had an interesting phrase, kids are growing up.
Yeah.
Comma, quicker.
Well, differently.
Because
you know, but here, let's talk about this, and I think this will resonate with folks with teenagers at home. You know, you don't see the level of dating that we saw. You don't see the first kiss is coming later and later and later. Relationships in general aren't happening. The huge crowd at games, none of that's happening because people can access friends and groups on their phone. You know, there's this intimacy that's not real, that feels intimate.
Individual intimacy.
Well, or even large. Group. Yeah, but as far as that, the pairing up, you know, it's just pretty remarkable what's happening right now. So
they're just hanging out.
They're just hanging out. Yeah, they're just hanging out. There's no, you know, we had the girls varsity girls basketball, boys varsity basketball on a road trip, Walnut Creek for 3 days, 3 nights. There was no, you know, the kids were amazing together. They were wonderful together, but there was no this, we're going to go pair off and, you know, sneak around. That's just not, it's just, it's different. It's different now.
Sounds boring.
I know there were
relaxing, but boring. Yeah,
there were some video game consoles in hotel rooms. So yeah, the kids were having fun, but yeah, it's a different time. All right,
let's move on quickly.
Let me ask you a question. Christmas is tomorrow. What's one of the favorite Christmas gifts that you remember getting as a kid or a young adult?
Favorite Christmas gifts? See,
Come on.
I was one that always enjoyed the giving. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm more excited about
even at 6 years old. You're a 6-year-old looking at Christmas and excited about giving gifts.
It was probably like baseball cards or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, it was not. There were no big things that we look forward to. Or at least for me, it was.
What about the family tradition and growing up? What was that Christmas tradition that is the same or different for you?
Oh, going over to Grandma and Grandpa's.
Yeah.
I mean, the family gathering, I guess, since now Mom and Dad are gone, and so are Grandma and Grandpa.
Right. It's like, you're now it.
The gathering and the foods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the only time when there would be certain foods available.
Right.
And that
made it special.
Yeah. And I think a lot of tradition is food related. I mean, whether it's the turkey or roast beef or that kind of stuff. Laughing.
Yeah.
You know, stupid behind-the-scenes stuff, right? When Grandpa was out here, and my uncle, Lynn, was on the programming side, and Dad was in the sales side, and Dad would always call Grandpa the old man.
Right, yeah.
But Grandpa was not aware of that. And it was not Wendell, it was Mr. Adams.
Oh,
okay, you know,
Mr.
old
Adams,
school,
yeah, right.
You know, 50s, yeah. The whole night, right, okay. So the first time he heard it, I guess he did a check-off on it. But having Dad then reference him at the house is the old man.
Right.
And Grandpa laughing.
Yeah. Big deal.
Yeah.
Shared laughter connection.
Yeah. That's the laughter and the food. That to me was what the holidays were.
Yeah. Christmas Eve for us was Grandma's house, all the cousins, food, presents, laughter. And it continues now, 49 years later, my brother hosts just because he's got the room that can hold 50 people. And it's that just seeing the same faces 50 years later laughing. Tonight, everyone's excited about tonight, getting together. Yeah. Grandma won't be
so
there.
So you guys were Christmas Eve.
Well, we're Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, Christmas brunch, Christmas.
Well, that's right.
There's Christmas basketball.
You got a couple layers. Yeah.
Yeah, there's Christmas ranching. There's Christmas feeding the cattle. But there's hanging out.
You know, that is a new tradition I've not heard of, the Christmas cow. KINS.
They get hungry too.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. Socialization is one of the big things that they say is missing now. Soft skills? Isn't that what it's kind of used in as a generic term? It was interesting. During the break, I was flashing back and still trying to figure out what the gift was. You cannot come up with anything. But it was the food. It was a social interaction. That was what made it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And
I'm wondering, you know, is that with some of the different things that are going on now, either the pressures from society or the culture or some of the other overtones that are out there, are the kids as well socialized as they were before? Because I think that's one of the fundamental cornerstones.
Right. Yeah, I can speak a little bit to St. Bernard's. Sam came from Germany this year, and we were road tripping back from the tournament yesterday. And he
isn't there a song?
He was, yeah, yeah.
Road Tripping?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're not going to sing, though. Oh, that's not one of my talents.
No, no.
I do have talents. No. Singing is not one of
no,
them.
No, and that's not at a mass, memory of Christmas either.
I'll sing at Mass in Community. But
oh,
so Sam mentioned.
Yeah, I will behind the mask at very low volumes.
Oh, you do have that. Oh, yeah, you do sound good. Come on. So Sam was so happy to be at a small school because he's, you know, at a large school, you can kind of hide and do your own thing, but at a small school you can't. And he said, so he's connected through sports, he's connected through clubs, and he's connected through class in a way, you know, it's been 4 months, and he was just really marveling, saying to me, you know, if your son Owen had gone to Germany, he wouldn't have had those opportunities, just the way, you know, sports are not connected to the schools the way they are.
Yeah.
And so
club teams,
yeah, everything, yeah, separate. And he said there's this access that happens. And so we went talking to socials, you know, how do you socialize? Well, part of that is, you know, you're interacting with kids from different backgrounds on a team and figuring out how to win, how to lose grace, whatever, to battle to get better together. And that's happening, you know. And then theater, too. Oh, I think we have 30 kids in the spring play, you know, and so that's, you know, over 10% of the kids are going to be on stage, practicing, rehearsing, you know, problem solving, art direction, and you can't help but connect in that community.
As an entity. Not as individuals, but as an entity.
Right, right. And then the success that you have together, again, that builds. And we're social creatures. We really are. And we do thrive when you're getting that smile and you're getting that connection and you're getting the shared laughter, as you talked about at Christmas Eve. That builds us up, warms us up, and, you know, we're better for it.
It was funny. That was one of the things that we had missed. Well, I guess what, coming up on 2 years ago, was not being able to get together mm-hmm. at Mass or church, you know,
right.
depending on what your proclivity is, not being there.
Yeah.
It just, in essence, something was wrong. Something was missing. There was a void.
Right.
And that's kind of the fear that I think a lot of folks have with the kids that stay at homes.
Mm-hmm.
Or those opting to do the distancing, is there's a void now,
right?
And you got a bunch of singletons instead of that group, and what does that portend in 10 or 15 years in the workforce? Or
right.
are we going to have a bunch of people working out of the bedroom in their house and
yeah.
not have
there are community. Behaviors that you here at your lovely office, you know, you behave differently when you're around your coworkers versus when you're in your home, and you connect in ways that you don't, you know, it's not just about that meeting at 2 o'clock, or it's not just about, okay, what happened with the client? It's about, hey, you know, we're talking about Christmas and history and, you know, all these things that came up earlier. We were talking about sports and, you know, your kids and I'm learning from you about NAI schools that, you know, is an option for my kids. And, you know, all that happened because I came here. If I just called in for this radio show, that doesn't happen. And same thing for people they're, you know, zooming in. From work, for work, or for school, you're missing out on, you know, thousands of interactions, which add up to, you know, a pretty good life.
So what, as you have been kind of plowing through with the recruitment, because I think you're probably the only school, maybe Humboldt, that actually goes out of market
uh-huh.
to recruit.
And he's talking about international. For those of you at home, he's talking about our international.
Or just, you know, out of the four county area.
Yeah.
You know, people
yeah,
who
right,
don't.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Has that dynamic changed, or is it just that's the way it's always been, that stays the same, and now some of those techniques and abilities and habits that you've formed working there are now applied in some of your meetings with peers throughout the state?
Right. I mean, just the travel alone. So there were years I was traveling tens of thousands of miles for international recruitment. And instead last week, you know, I'm presenting in China it's Friday morning in China. It's Thursday evening in St. Bernard's, and, you know, I'm in the school library. So I didn't have to get on the plane, but who we are doesn't translate through a Zoom. And, you know,
it's more sterile.
Yeah. And then the conversations aren't happening between, really, you know, again, we go to that 2 o'clock meeting. People are talking before the meeting starts. They're talking after the meeting. They're walking with each other down the hallway. They're
go maybe, grab a sandwich afterwards.
They're going to have a sandwich. Yeah. Then they're going to learn the thing like, oh, wow, I didn't realize, you know, you're
X, Y, Z.
Yeah. And then that impacts what happens at work.
Have I introduced you to the new Flying Duck?
That's a very bright duck.
That's right.
You're not going to lose that duck.
No, he hasn't hit the floor yet.
Yeah, for those of you at home, Winston throws things at Brian to let him know it's time for a commercial break.
Well, their Nerf ball is kind of well known. Now we've got the duck.
Those wings aren't. It's not going to fly very far.
No, those wings have been clipped.
Oh my gosh, animal cruelty.
Yeah, well, it's.
Oh, and yeah,
it is what it is. Yeah, it face plants too.
Right. Yeah. Even in water, wouldn't do all that well.
No, no. But it's not rubber. It's a sponge ducky. KINS, news information time.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan.
Garlic dill mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
The best for
easy. Couple. And I cheat with the garlic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I get the minced.
Okay.
Don't give me fresh and make it simple for me. Uh-huh. Three or four cereal spoons.
Okay.
Two cubes of butter, probably eventually about 8 or 10 potatoes, and a Pabstein palm of dill.
Wow. It's about half a gallon.
Yeah. And just beat it till it's smooth.
Sounds delicious.
That's it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Christmas food?
You know, I'm a big fan of crab, and Sarah's family would always have crab on Christmas Eve. So there's a bit of that. And then prime rib on Christmas Day is pretty spectacular. And so my mom has to hook up at Murphy's. We all do, right? Murphy's helps everybody. But yeah, the size of the prime rib that.
That's probably the unique element for you guys, huh?
Yeah. When there's dozens and dozens of people, yeah, it's a Volkswagen-sized prime rib. So, yeah, that's pretty spectacular.
That's a Brahma bull, babe. non-protein favorite.
Non-protein. We love vegetables. We love our salads. Dad's side, Grandma Eleanor would make the salad with, again, throw in a little protein, a little shrimp. That was pretty amazing. So that'll show up too. You know, you're reaching back generations. It's like the kids are like, what are these little shrimp doing in our salad? Well, that's how Grandma did it.
That's part of it. That's part of it. Yeah, Grandma would do the cranberry apple, the chunky.
Yeah,
that was something I think Dad may have ended up doing it. We've not had it for the last couple years. It was there.
Right.
Not particularly consumed.
There was always a dish of it left.
Yeah, for me, it's like bean salad. It's like,
No, it's all right.
No, go ahead, you load up. Stuffing.
Pardon
me, dressing.
Dressing.
We don't stuff, we dress.
Yeah, I'll eat stuffing and dressing, whether you call it either or.
And gravy.
Yeah, so I'm blessed. Yeah. My mom is a phenomenal cook, and Sarah's mom is a phenomenal cook, and Sarah is a phenomenal cook. I'm
well, your metabolic rate's got to be really overdrive all the time.
Hey, it's that Bay Trail. I'm riding the bike. I'm riding the bike on the Bay Trail every night. If you need to talk school, I'll see you on the Bay Trail at dusk or after dusk these days. But yeah, no, just blessed with people who love to cook, love the energy of a kitchen that's warm and full of laughter.
The gathering,
thinking, the planning. I mean, that's just there's a lot of investment
planning.
Yeah, I know, right?
Planning, what's that?
Yeah, if you want that prime rib, you can't show up Christmas Eve and say, hey, can I get a 45-pound prime rib?
Sure, I'll give it to you in 5-pound increments.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, that's part of it, the planning and knowing that it's going to bring people together, and then the really gracious, thankful folks. And one thing that a tradition was, there'll be a dozen people doing the dishes afterwards. It's no one runs away from the responsibility.
No, that's part of the social.
Yeah. I may have dumped a tray of turkey grease on someone at one point, and that one person hasn't returned to the festivities of doing dishes, but everyone else is there. a prank that hasn't been forgotten. It's been 12 years, and he's still not going to be in there doing dishes with us.
Was it really the turkey? Or did
no, it was it was just a greasy, messy tray. You know how.
You didn't fake something. You did the real deal.
No, it was real.
Oh, it was real.
It was funny at the time.
For most. Favorite gift you've given?
Oh, man. Here's the thing, Brian. I'm good at lots of things. I am terrible. It was the first 7 years of being married to Sarah before I realized how bad I was at getting gifts for Sarah. And, I mean, it was...
You didn't do the vacuum, did you?
I did, I did a juicer 1 year, a leather jacket. I mean, I'd go to her sister, you know, their best friends, and even her advice wouldn't be enough. So finally, I just started listening and not even writing it down, like, okay, you go try it on. It's gonna I'll wrap it or whatever, but
So she gets her own.
Oh yeah, 100%. There is a special gift that I know she's gonna like this year that involves a little bit of a it's circle. It's got some gold on it.
A little something Paul did on his own.
No. My mom's way behind this one, so it's gonna be good. Yeah, no, Paul does.
So you've got your defense shields in place, is what you're saying. One of the things you were talking a little bit about tradition, one of the things that we'll do is wrap things in different sized boxes.
Mm, brilliant.
The small thing in the big thing in something that just barely fits it.
Right.
The note, and you hide it in the closet around the corner.
Yeah. No, that's there. Yeah,
those types of things.
Scavenger hunt, Sarah's tradition for Christmas, yeah. Scavenger hunt. They'd have to 7 or 8 clues to get to the big gift.
Oh.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, and the other thing is remembering that you bought something and where you put it.
That you didn't get the same exact thing the year before.
I have found Christmas. Yeah, well, I doubled down on the same book last year. I got it twice because I got one early. So, however you celebrate.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. See everybody on Monday.